Hello, folks.
Off-Grid Gary. It's been an interesting week. The signs of the times are definitely here. You know, middle of late last week, you know, we've been hearing for many weeks on the internet that something was going to happen on this date, you know, and the Kappa gets raided. I don't condone terrorism of any kind. Let that be clear, not violent. A person shouldn't just storm something. Do I think the election was stolen? Yeah, I really do. Would I want to hurt anybody over it? No. With that being said, that's why we prepare and we prep. You know, I'm not a big politics guy, but I'm not going to sit here and take crap from everything, you know. That's why we prep and prepare, you know. That's why we garden. That's why we hunt. That's why we fish. That's why, you know, that's why we live off the land, you know. People, past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to prepare, how to add to your food supply, your non-perishable food supply, your canned goods, I'm not a big fan of MREs, but, or like the freeze-dried foods. I'm not a big fan of them, but for a lot of people, it works. Every homestead is different. I do have some MREs. I'll be the first to admit I do. But we use those for more of an extra rainy day supply, per se. More like if we've had a very long weekend of work and it's just one of those things you might grab as a quick, easy snack to get back going again, but really, I haven't even used them for that. They're there if I need them, you know. I'm not saying they're not good to have, but they are. But like MREs, for instance, they're heavy sodium. They're just not real healthy for you. I mean, a younger person can eat their weight in them and probably be all right. But somebody like me, you know, it may spike up their blood pressure a little bit. I don't have blood pressure issues, but they have enough sodium in there that'll make you have blood pressure issues. The newer ones are more sodium friendly. And then there's the freeze-dried foods, like, I'll just throw this out to, like, the Patriots have. You know, Patriot Food Company. Patriot makes solar generators. Patriot makes cell phone chargers. Actually, one of my friends has a Patriot solar generator. I'm not giving anybody a sponsor or a shout-out on this particular product. I mean, they do work good. They're a nice little unit. They're nothing like what I would build, but they're nice. And for the average person that had one in a bad situation, they could keep their food alive for quite a while. You know, like the refrigerator, if they was real careful. If you have a decent food supply, you can use a solar generator or a gas generator for the common power outage, you know, when you know the power is going to come back on. But here's the thing, if your power is going to be off 2 weeks to a month, it'll break your wallet. You know, if you go 3 months, there's people that can afford it, but I'm not one of them. You know, if you're using that much gas to keep the power on, well, it's something I wouldn't want to do because that's a lot of money out the window. There's other ways of doing things without costing you a ton of money. You don't have to be rich. You just got to kind of know how to put things together, you know. I have a very, a fairly large solar system. It took me a lot of years to build it. It's paid for. I'm not a rich man by no means, but my system is paid for. I bought it a little piece at a time and made it to what it is today. Is it perfect? No, it is not perfect. I still have a gen backup. But here's the thing. Where you're running your generators for 6 hours on a tank of gas, and you fill it back up and run another 6 hours on 5 gallons of gas, 5 gallons of gas will last my generator a week, 2 weeks at a time. So yes, that cuts my expense way down. And actually, I'm fixing to modify this a little bit more because I'm upgrading the batteries on my solar system. And I'm actually putting real solar batteries in instead of golf cart batteries, which I've had for years. And then it should cut my generator use probably down by 50 to 75%. So 5 gallons of gas might last me a month and a half at that point, is what I'm shooting for. But they make all kinds of devices that doesn't run on gas. They have these little solar panels you can plug your phone into and keep it charged. They make little boost controllers now that are the size of a pack of cigarettes that you can hook a fairly large panel to and charge up to 72 volts off of one panel. And I'm not going to tell you that you don't have to watch them. You have to watch any electronic device that you're using. But here's the thing, they're very reliable. I have one on my golf cart. My golf cart, I can drive it anywhere. It stays full charged. And I got a 310-watt solar panel on the roof. I got a little bitty $50 boost controller on it from eBay. It comes from China. I'm not big on buying overseas products, but if you can buy something for $50 that'll charge from 24 volts to 72 volts for $50, that's a steal. So for people like me who don't have a lot when they started all this, now you can build you take like your golf cart. If you put a solar panel on it and you put a boost controller on it and it maintains itself, why not you can buy an inverter at any voltage. Now you can buy an inverter from 12 volts to 72 volts on eBay. Okay, you think about that a minute. You can buy a pure sine wave, 36 volt, 3,000 watt inverter, pure sine wave, for around $400, $350, $400. If you have a golf cart with that inverter on there, you've got power to run your house. I don't mean your air conditioning, your electric stove, your hot water heater. No, I'm not saying that. You have enough power, you can plug into your house, you can run your refrigerator, and if you're careful with your lighting, you can run some lighting. You can turn on your TV and watch the news. And during the day, you have more uses than that. I mean, during the day, you can run your microwave, you could run your crock pot. You can use a lot of stuff with it during the day. But at nighttime, once you figure out your charging window and your charging times, you can keep your food going, you can keep your refrigerator going pretty much endlessly off that one golf cart. Now, I know not everybody can afford a golf cart, but think about the concept of it. If you have them six-volt batteries in a 36-volt configuration with a boost controller and a solar panel, in a wooden box behind your house with a cord that you can plug into your house, and then you just flip the breakers off on the ones you're not going to use, plug it in, guess what? You got power. And it's not taking a very big footprint to do it in. And it's cheaper than most generators. You can buy a pretty good sized generator for $800. if you like YouTube and you watch how-to DIY videos, you can build you a nice solar generator for about the same money. Yes, it might not be as big, but it'll be gas-free. And with a little bit of work, you can build a charge unit for that thing for on cloudy days when you don't have as much juice. And when I say charge it, I mean something that can run for an hour. It's not going to take much gas. You can take a Predator motor, 5-horse motor, with a 3.5-inch pulley and put it on a GM 90s model GM alternator. And you can charge up 12 batteries of that thing at one time. And those little Predator motors will run just about all day on a tank of gas, and they only hold a quart of gas. So you think about that for just a minute on a small scale. You've got something you could kind of keep going, you know, where basically 5 gallons of gas would last you for a month, month and a half at that pace. And you're still alive, your food is still good, you're still running lights, but you're conserving. You're conserving your power because it's like a bank account. The more money you leave in that account, the more money you have at the end of the month. It's the same way with your batteries. If you don't take from them batteries, when you really need them, they're there. And they really do work very good. This is a way to prep people. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's going to happen. But with that being said, you can still stay alive. I'm not trying to scare anybody, because I don't want to do that. But we are living in some very strange times. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? But I can tell you, whatever happens, and something happens where, let's just say, everything closes down for a week. That would be a hard scenario to live if you think about it. Not everybody could basically shut in for a week or 2 weeks and have everything to stay alive on. You know, because it's everyday rat race world. I know several people in just my normal everyday life. I know several people, they don't have no groceries in their house. They don't want them. They eat out all the time. They would rather go to a fast food joint or a nice restaurant. They might eat fast food during the day and they go to a nice restaurant at night. That's a lot of money being wasted. I mean, if you like doing it, it's one thing. And you had the money to do it, it's one thing. But here's the thing. If everything stops, what are you going to do? You've got to eat. You know, we're stepping our game up on our way we live, you know. You know, we garden, we hunt, but we're also looking in at different livestock. You know, we're looking at maybe some milk goats coming in, chickens, of course. You know, just stuff that's going to help if stuff gets bad. Otherwise, you know, but with goats, you still have milk, you can still make butter, cheese, this kind of thing. But you also have meat if you need it, you know. If you're to where you really get to the point where you can't hunt because just the way the circumstances are, you can go butcher a chicken or a goat or a little pig, whatever you have on the homestead, you know. It's your food. And it does help if you can grow some of the foods your animals are going to eat. Now, unfortunately, I can't grow dog food for my dogs, but any table scraps that, you know, any food that we don't eat, instead of throwing it in the garbage, we feed it to our dogs. You know, I have a big family, so there's times we have a pretty good pile of scraps or something that's just we know we're not going to eat it again, so we'll just give it to the dogs, you know. They have to eat too. And just remember, if times get hard, your dog is an animal you're going to want to have. I'm not going to tell you to butcher your dog, because I'm not that kind of person. I love dogs. But dogs, like my dogs, they'll let me know what anything comes on the property. So think about that for just a minute. Times are tough. You don't know how you're going to protect your property 100%, but a dog will let you know if somebody's trespassing. That's better than any security system you can buy. And then not to mention, if you treat that dog good, that dog will do anything you tell him to do. I mean, my dog, he hunts with me. Just hit my dog. When me and my boys go out to hunt, my dog wants to go with us just as bad as we want to go. Because he knows that if we shoot something, he knows he's going to get a little bite of it to eat regardless. He knows. But if it runs off and you can't find it, guess what? He'll find it for you. That animal is worth his weight in gold. Having an animal that can track an animal that you've thought you shot and it maybe should have dropped and it didn't, and it runs off 100 yards somewhere and falls over and you can't find it because it's in a thicket or in a creek, and you got a dog that'll go in there and get it. Man, that's worth a lot. So, if you have a couple of dogs on your homestead, you can use them as your security system, and they love doing it for you. And I know not everybody owns a homestead, but there's always ways to prepare, no matter where you live. If you live in an apartment, for instance, you still have to have a food supply to live. Yes, you may not be able to have a solar generator, per se, in an apartment. But you could build you something small with AGM batteries for an emergency situation that's going to keep you by for quite a while. If you have a car, you know, they make coolers that are refrigerators that'll plug into your cigarette lighter. Yeah, it's kind of a temporary fix. It's not a real McCoy. But if it's for a week or two, you can make it work. Because, I don't know about you, but if stuff really did hit the fan solid, you don't want to eat MREs for the rest of your life. And I'm using this for an example. There's nothing like a good roast, potatoes and carrots in a crock pot. There's nothing like a steak. There's nothing like pork chops over a fire pit. You know, there's nothing like that compared. I mean, you can't compare an MRE to real food. You know, I'm a firm believer of having a good first aid kit on hand. A good first aid kit should naturally have Band-Aids, Neosporin, you know, stuff to take care of most little paper cuts. But what are you going to do when you can't go anywhere and you get something in your eye? Or a toothache? You know, you need to have a good first aid kit. You know, something that's got Aleve, Motrin, Benadryl, some baby aspirin. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can buy over the counter. And in my first aid kit's a little bit unique, but in my first aid kit, I have a life straw. I have a fire starter. Yeah, why do you have a fire starter in your first aid kit? Well, think about it. Wherever you are, disaster hits and you need a first aid kit, whether you're in the middle of the woods or the middle of the town, your first aid kit's right there, okay? Whatever the disaster, that first aid kit's right there. That should be part of your go bag, that first aid kit. That should be one of the, like in my backpack that I use for camping, my first aid kit is the very first item that gets removed from my pack when I get to my camp. Why? Because if you get a thorn on the way to your camp, or you step on something into your foot, whatever the case may be, first aid kit's easy to grab. If you're going to make a fire when you hit the camp before you make set up shelter, you might want a fire going. What's the first thing you're going to remove? Your first aid kit, because your fire starter's in your first aid kit. Always have a good pair of tweezers in your first aid kit. I keep a couple pairs. One of my pairs has a light on the tweezers. I got bad eyes. So with reading glasses and a light with tweezers, I can get it out. Eye drops. I keep those in my first aid kit too. I keep a very sharp pocket knife in my first aid kit. Carry a razor blade in my first aid kit. Carry gauze in my first aid kit. My first aid kit's not huge. It sounds like I got a 5-gallon bucket for a first aid kit, but I don't. But I have enough stuff in there. I can take care of most situations. I'm not talking a gunshot wound. I'm not talking a knife wound. I'm talking about everyday slip and fall, cut yourself. Maybe bad enough you might need stitches. I carry rubbing alcohol in my bag. Well, if I got something bad enough where I think I need stitches, I can put alcohol on it, and then I can super glue that wound shut if need be until I can get to where I gotta go. There's been plenty of instances where I've hurt myself and just knew just from where I was at, I'd never make it to a hospital as far as to get help. My first aid kit had the stuff that I needed, and I never went to the doctor. We just kept camping. You know, it's all, you know, because when you're camping or in the woods, we'll just say, and you cut yourself, you're setting your, especially if you're, it's in your feet. If you hurt your foot while you're in the woods, let's say you're on a 3-day camp out in the middle of nowhere and you're by yourself. We'll just say you're having a bushcrafting weekend all yourself. You cut your foot or slip on a rock and twist your ankle and you cut yourself. You got to have first aid right there, because if you don't clean that wound, you're going to get highly infected. And if you get highly infected, your whole day just got a lot worse. And if you're where you can't get that infection out, you may die. So, a bottle of rubbing alcohol is a good thing to have in your bag with super glue in your backpack. My first aid kit has super glue. It has rubbing alcohol, Neosporin, triple antibiotic ointment, Benadryl. I mean, I have a lot of stuff in there, but it's not that big. My backpack is, I think, a 60 or 70 liter bag, okay? It weighs about 70 pounds, my backpack does, 60, 70 pounds. And the very top pouch, I'll say, is the size of a little bigger than an oatmeal container. And that is my backpack, or that is my first aid kit, with a life straw in there too. So you've got fire, water, and medical all in the same bag. And then when you flip that pouch open, then you just got regular camping gear. You know, the stuff you're going to use, like your bedroll, your sleeping bag, that little 10x10 tarp to put up over your, in a set of trees to make you a shelter for the evening or whatever. I carry a machete, you know, this kind of stuff, a hatchet. Depending where I'm going, I may have a .22 with me, you know, because sometimes where we go, we may kill a rabbit, you know. You guys got to eat. So these are things to think about in your prep gear that you need for first aid kits. How to take care of, if you've got kids, if you have kids, you should have Band-Aids, you should have Neosporin, you should have alcohol peroxide. You know, you should have stuff to take care of decent little cuts and slivers, this kind of thing. I carry fingernail trimmers, you know. You got to have it. If you don't have it, and an infection sets in, you die. You know, you carry a bar of soap in your bag, you know. I don't know about you, but I don't want to smell myself after 3-4 days of in the bush. I mean, my word, if you're going to be in the water, get that bar of soap out and clean yourself. It's all a part of staying healthy. You know, I like watching a lot of videos on YouTube on homesteading, you know, different things. You can learn a lot of stuff from there. Some of the channels gives you a lot of BS, I'll admit. Some of the other channels you get better news from. But everybody's different. My needs are not the same as a lot of other people's needs. But if you have children, you still have to have a way to take care of them, whether it's first aid kit, food, whatever. You've got to keep your kids fed. So think about the news that's been going around with the Capitol getting raided, just with the way politics have been in the past month and a half to 2 months, presently to currently now. Just think about what you're seeing on TV and on the news and what's happening in the towns and communities you're living in. And then you think, what's fixing to happen? You know, this is why we prepare. I'm not telling you to dig a bunker. I'm not telling you to do anything stupid like that. But I am telling you, and actually if you have a bunker, I'm not going to say it's stupid, but it's something I don't want. We're looking at doing a smokehouse. You know, we're looking to get a few more animals. I look at stuff back like my grandfather's parents would have done. You know, they preserved their meats. They didn't need the stuff that we live off of now. And I understand where not everybody wants to live that way. Myself, I don't find it to be a bad way of life. I enjoy spending time in my garden. I enjoy spending time hunting, especially if my boys are with me, because that's good quality time you're spending with your family. You know, we like working in a garage. We build stuff. You know, we make stuff. You know, it all goes back to learning how to do things. People, just keep in mind, when it gets so bad and you're not sure exactly what to do, always think, how do I prepare for this particular problem? You know, you prepare to pay your bills. That's why you work every day. You know, you prepare. When you buy your home, you have to save money to put a down payment on there. So you're preparing yourself to own the home. Same way with owning a car or going to Walmart to buy. You still can't just go in there and spend $100 if you don't have it. Do you think Walmart's going to let you make payments? Just saying. You have to prepare. Life's getting interesting, people. It's getting very interesting. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to end this particular episode. But I want to tell everybody to prepare. You know, spend that extra $5, $10 every week and get you some non-perishable food items. Basically, you want to figure out, you know, is I'm not telling you got to prepare for a 2 to 5 year deal, because I'm not doing that. Some people are, and the ones that are doing it, great. I have no problem with it either way. But with my thing is, have what you need to take care of your family. Because after all, your family is your family. You don't want to live without them. Just saying. Take care of them. Prepare a nice place for your family to where when they're scared, you have a place you can say, okay, kids, you don't have to worry about this. We're in control. We got it. Yeah. That's what you want. You want to keep your children to where they know that mom and dad will keep them safe. you know. And let them know that they're a part of this. So they need to learn to prepare too. My kids all have a to-go bag. And I don't mean a to-go bag is to put on their shoulder and flee. That's not the case. But if there's a bad storm, like a hurricane, we had Hurricane Laura, we had Hurricane Delta, we had two or three hurricanes hit us this year. We had backpacks, you know. You put them in the pantry. But here, you know, because your pantry is kind of your safe room. You know, because the way our house is built is just kind of a safe room. You know, they can put their bags in there. If we go to a tornado, hurricane, roof blown off, whatever, they can go to that pantry and probably live, you know. But they have their to-go bag. There's always a little food in that bag, a change of clothes, a fire starter, and a small first aid kit. You're like, why do you have this in your kids' to-go bag? Well, this is stuff that they've chosen to put in there that they know how to use. You know, my youngest is 11 years old. He's got a pocket knife. My boys are teenagers. They have pocket knives. My daughter's a teenager. She has a pocket knife. You know, a lot of people go, oh, pocket knife. Well, you know what? I was raised, when I was a kid, when I turned 7, 8 years old, I had a pocket knife. I carried one my whole entire life. I can remember when I got my first pocket knife because my daddy bought it for me. I was the happiest kid on earth. You know, that pocket knife is a tool. And it's a valuable tool. And that's part of my everyday carry. You know, I always can lay my hands on a flashlight, pocket knife, and a fire starter. Those are the three main components I never leave without. Because it's safety. Whenever you're in a bad situation and you're not sure how far you're going to have to walk before you run into another vehicle that's going to help you, always remember, if you have a way to make a small fire to stay warm, you have something you can cook. You know, you'd be surprised what you can make with a piece of string to catch a rabbit with. I'm just saying, there's a lot of things you can do. And what we're going to do for today, I want to remind everybody, my YouTube channel is Off Grid Gary. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you can message us. We'd love to hear from you. We're on MeWe under Off Grid Gary. We're under Parler. Believe it or not, I have a Parler account. Just got it open. Off Grid Gary on there as well, but you can't get a Parler app right now because Google decided to pull it because they don't want them to do Donald Trump, so they took Parler down. Stupid, right? Okay, well, with that being said, if you have a Parler account, you better fight for it because it's the last account that lets you post stuff that's freedom of speech. MeWe, as of right now, still let you post what you want to post, but I imagine they'll be targeting them next. But we're on MeWe, we're on Parler, I'm on Twitter. It's all under Off Grid Gary. I have a Messenger account. It's under Gary Mall. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to go ahead and call it a day. Tell everybody thanks for listening. If you want to support us, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. We're also on Patreon as well. So, you know, if you like what you're hearing and you want us to get into a certain topic, get a hold of us. We'll try to do what you would like to hear, you know. If you want to support us or make a donation, great. If you just want to tune in and listen, that's great too. We're going to go ahead and call it a day and tell everybody thanks for tuning in. And we look forward to the next episode. But stay vigilant and stay safe because we don't know what's coming. And with this being said, I hope if there's anything I can help you with in your prepping needs and you don't know where to start, get a hold of me and I'll try to do what I can for you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.